ed è un piacere invitare qui sul palco l'autore della storia di copertina del primo numero di Wired del maggio 1993, Mr. Bruce Sterling.
You want to come up with me? Let's see if we can turn on. Am I live? Hey, I am. Okay.
Yeah, you're live.
I'm come great. Here. Hey, my hardware is working. It's stupendo.
That's Italy, you know what I mean?
It
it's
is.
Always surprising.
I bring paper.
Yeah.
I have fewer
and we don't have any table,
failures.
And we don't have any presentation, and we have nothing to, not even a click for a PowerPoint. So, Bruce.
Yes, sir.
Bruce is very famous for being a amazing science fiction writer in the 80s. You wrote some of the best books and books that were even aware of the future. He was writing about Muslim terrorists blowing up things, which was really, really amazing. But he always wrote non-fiction and stories about the realities and the frontiers of what it was called the cyberspace.
Yes.
So let's start from the beginning. Do you remember cyberspace? It was really real. It happened, or it happened, or cyberpunk, or it happened only in fiction?
Well, you know, I my colleagues and I love making up new words.
Uh-huh.
And though I
you mean what, William?
Yes, like William Gibson, who invented the word cyberspace. So I don't speak Italian, but I do speak tech jargon. Actually, I do speak Italian, but when I speak it, people laugh so violently that they can't understand what I say. So, you know, I could tell you when I first got involved in Wired and started writing nonfiction for Wired.
First question.
Like when
where
was
were
it real
you as a kid? You were obsessed with Meccano or things, or you were a more abstract TV viewer?
Well, my father was an engineer, so I knew. I had a technical background.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I went to school and thought I would become a science journalist.
See that a good technical and scientific background is a good idea?
Yeah, for novelists, yeah, I think so, yeah. You know, it's like Calvino in Torino. His parents are all scientists, engineers, geologists, botanists. Yeah.
They didn't need the creative writing schools, right?
Speaking about
Turin.
I like those. Well, you know, I do spend a lot of time in Torino, and I like its literary atmosphere. I can actually get a lot of fiction done in Torino. It stimulates my creativity. You know, the left hand is very active in Torino.
We don't want to stimulate you too much, you know what I mean? Let's start from your child then, you know what I mean? You went to study and then you start losing yourself in science fiction.
Well, I was studying journalism, but I got very involved in science fiction in school, and I wrote a novel while I was a college student. So after that, I just decided I would write novels, so I just started writing, you know, material, and I wrote, you know, two books which were not very good, but I was learning. And then my third book was pretty okay. And then by the time I was, by that
what
time,
what was the title?
It was called Schismatrix.
Yeah, it was published in Italy by, I think, Urania.
It was
Urania Collection.
Love Urania.
We love it too.
I hope to do more work with them soon.
It's another publisher.
Yep.
You cannot tell about it. For sure, the great illustrator of the Uranian covers, Karen Toll, is gone.
Well,
the quality is not that amazing anymore. You know what?
Don't be jealous.
Is the favorite one of a guy who made a real mess at the recent election. Karen Toll is the favorite artist of Casaleggio.
Oh, Casaleggio.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well.
Maybe we'll need to think more about that cover. You know what I mean?
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Quite interested in Casaleggio.
We too. We invited him, but the answer that maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You might need to persuade him.
No, but we don't like his hair. It's too similar to a prog rock keyboard player. No.
I would love to interview
him. We are a little bit snobbish about aesthetics. We don't love his hair.
He's not very well known in the U.S. I'd be quite keen to interview Casaleggio.
Maybe we will go to the hairdresser with him. And then we will take it there.
I didn't realize he liked science fiction art so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I know lots of science fiction artists. Perhaps I can persuade him.
Let's go back to you. You were in Texas. You were, I mean, Casalejo was playing with the ball in a courtyard, I don't know where. And the, let's go back to you. So you started writing fiction. You wrote the beautiful Six Metric, and literally the cyber world opened up like a geometric nightmare.
Well, what literally happened was that the founders of Wired showed up on my doorstep and knocked on the door.
In Texas.
Yes, in Texas. It was Lewis and Jane.
What the fuck they were wanting?
That's
you?
What I asked. It's like, who are you people? You know, they had just come from Amsterdam. They were wearing European
clothing. Why are you
clothing.
So ugly?
Lewis is from Piemonte, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's a Rosetto.
You know what? Luis Rosetto è uno dei fondatori di Wired. Poi per un motivo misterioso si è incazzato tantissimo e ha abbandonato l'impresa e adesso non ne vuole parlare e gestisce, ha fondato una industria, una piccola industria artigiana di cioccolato a Brooklyn.
Yeah, so it's this Piedmontese Giuro. Guy. Yes, the chocolate guy.
Yeah,
Cho, yeah, he's a Piedmontese chocolate entrepreneur. So the Piedmontese guy and his American girlfriend show up at my door. They're like, "We're starting a magazine in San Francisco." I'm like, "That's cute. What can I do for you?" "Oh, we want you to become our reporter and go to Fort Knox and like cover the U.S. Army and their virtual reality." I'm like, "Are you sure you have the right guy? I'm a novelist.
Are you sure you can get
it?" I'm writing sci-fi. They're like, no, we got it all arranged. We're going to be calling you from San Francisco. We'll send you the tickets. You go over here, you meet the military.
And you trusted them?
No. But, I never trusted them. But I never was able to tell them no. They always said such odd things. It's like, "We want you to go around the world and look at really big things." It's like, "Why, Lewis?" "Because you'd be great." So, you know, they sent me on assignment after assignment. I was, I'm still a Wired staffer.
It's a fantastic movie, much better than The Social Network.
Well, it is very odd, but that was them. You know, they were very persuasive. It was not a matter of you trusting them.
Did you
them.
Gave them lunch?
No, I didn't feed them.
Good.
They didn't ask for any barbecue from Texas.
Nah, good. Just no booze.
They were Europeans. They didn't eat Texan food.
And so you went. You went to Fort Knox. You knock at Fort Knox.
I
and
did.
They opened the door.
They did.
Because you were a journalist from Wired.
Well, it's a fortress,
Yeah.
So you have to like go through high security in order to get in there. So I was scanned, but yes, I was met by a lieutenant colonel who was my host. And he took me into the simulator room where they had all these machines and they were practicing tank warfare in there. And they had a war. I mean, they had a battle while I was there, and I was watching it. I was watching it with the guy who was running the Russian side. They were dying. Yeah, they were getting killed, and they were very upset about it. When you got killed in that battle, they knew they would not get promoted. They were bitterly upset. Yeah, it was no mere game. They were very upset about it, actually.
And you can look at them from the side of the field.
Oh, it was all up on screens.
All right.
But they were locked in their simulator boxes. They couldn't see anything, but the people overseeing them could understand the entirety of the battle. You could see the whole battle space.
Wow.
Yeah. That made a good article. It was very impressive. I mean, to see the American military up close is very impressive. They're a very, very large military.
Were there women there? Only men?
It was all men. They're all
eccolo
tank
qua.
Guys.
I've seen the future of war, the prima cover story di Wired. Dice ancora sta a mostrare la carta? No, questa cosa la trovate l'intero numero di Wired primo del maggio del 1993 si trova sull'Apple Store come iPad application. L'abbiamo pubblicato tutto e tradotto tutto. Quindi we published all the first issue and we made it Italian translation too,
yeah.
And is available on the internet replica on App Store and iPad.
Well, it was the future of war because they got what they wanted. They didn't just want to simulate things in cyberspace. They wanted complete military domination of conventional warfare. No other tank would dare to show up. The British and the U.S.
Army.
Yeah, the
or
Pentagon.
Governments.
Yeah, the military.
Mm-hmm.
The military establishment. They want a complete sensor domination of the battle space so that no conventional army would dare to face the American tank corps.
Have you seen, of course, Zero Dark Thirty by Catherine Bigelow?
Yes, I have. That was then, this is now, okay?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You've got to be careful what you ask for. I mean, they do have complete domination of tank warfare. Nobody's going to send tanks
exactly
against the U.S., but all it means is that you either get nuclear threats from North Korea or, constant terror war by asymmetric means, or a cyber war. You know, warfare is just politics by other means. But we're kind of lucky that it's not about steel boxes with cannons on the front. That was
war. And you're still interested in it, or you are simply terrified?
You know, I read Wired Danger Room, which is the Wired blog in the U.S.
Wired Danger Room is a channel inside the un canale dentro Wired.com che sostanzialmente da quando si è intensificata la guerra in Afghanistan si occupa quotidianamente del presente, direi più che del futuro, della guerra e delle apparecchiature militari. È il luogo dove abbiamo scoperto l'avvero utilizzo di droni nella guerra in Afghanistan e in Libia tanti anni fa. È un canale eccezionale, straordinario, che ha vinto numerosi premi del giornalismo.
It's true. They're really good.
Are you guys from Italia?
Well, yes, I can understand you. I just can't speak
because
it.
In fact, Bruce is living in Turin.
I can read it. I can read Italian. Okay. I read a lot of Italian. I read stuff like Ettore Fiera Mosca. It's like, what? You're reading Ettore Fiera Mosca? It's like Ettorinese, you know? He's like Turinese author. Of course I've got to read Ettore Fiera Mosca.
Maybe you can start the trip in the past.
You
can have
a
Panini figurine. You can have an Italian childhood, if you want.
A lot of war coverage in Ettore Fiera Mosca. It's all about, 13 Italians and 13 French guys. But no, Wired Danger Room's very good. They've got much better military coverage than I ever did.
So
I don't know that much about
military.
It. You know, I've got a lot of interests, really a lot on my mind, but mostly I'm interested in change, and I see military technology as part of the spectrum of all technology.
In the late 80s, you remember that we were going around to festivals, we were going to Imaginar in Monte Carlo, we would see the first synthetic, what they were called Image Synthetic,
yep.
Imaginary.
Yep.
We see the first 3D animation short movie by John Lasseter with a lamp.
Yep.
It was jumping.
Pixar Jr.
And this lamp became the Pixar jingle, and this Pixar became maybe one of the best entertainment production centers in the world.
Yep.
But in the late 80s, nobody was thinking about internet. Nobody was thinking about the net. We were all obsessed by virtual reality, right?
Well, DARPA was very into the internet, mm-hmm. And so was, the Dot Mill guys. And the Academy.
Again, the military.
The Academy was super into the internet. Well, the Academy, the military often pioneers technologies.
But for sure, nobody was talking about religion. When the Berlin Wall fell, we felt that the 90s were a fantastic time where everything was possible. You remember that guy who wrote The End of History?
Yep.
That Japanese.
Fukuyama. Francis Fukuyama.
And it was wrong. Then in 2001, we discovered in New York, 11 September, that religion was very important. But how did you precog, like Philip K. Dick will say, that reality in the early 90s? Why you were obsessed with Muslim terrorists?
Well, I used to read their publications. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of activity in the Muslim world.
I remember you were the first one. I remember that when 1911 happened, the first thing that I thought about your books. 10 years before.
You were just talking about things that were already happening. There were plenty of suicide bombings going on. There were plenty of, mm-hmm. Muslim-style warfare. They've been fighting for centuries. It was not hard to describe that. I mean, that only looks like precognition. I mean, the best way to tell people about the future is just tell them something that's really happening. If they don't know, it is the future to them. There's nobody who has a futurometer.
Are you still interested about the future, or do you think that these are perspectives that are ridiculous right now?
I'm super interested in the future. It's like Boston with the dinosaurs. This is a super interesting time. It's a hard time. It's a depression, and there's a war.
Uh-huh.
But the amount of stuff that's going on.
It's a 12-year-old war. It's a 12-year-old war. Can you believe that?
Yes, I believe it. I absolutely
it's real
believe
more
it.
Than you believe it.
All you have to do is read a little DeZalio and understand how long it took the Italians to get national independence. How many times did they have to fight against the concert of Europe? How many times did they go into the streets before they were actually a nation in the 1860s? It took a long time. It was constant war. Guys were always arriving on boats.
So you think that the same thing is happening to Afghanistan?
No, because they're not going to become a nation at the end of it. But, the struggles that we have now are in continuity with the struggles of the past.
Uh-huh.
They just have certain new elements, that's all. And it's not hard to forecast these things. I mean, just don't be sentimental.
What would be the most interesting field in human research for you in the next 5 years?
I got half a dozen. Internet of Things, very into that. Maker scene, like that a lot.
Industrial, and we got makers here.
Oh, yeah. Industrial
internet.
Do you have
any makers?
Nobody pays attention to it. Finance, super interested in finance. Shareables, all over shareables. The cloud, big data. Political campaigns, that's why I'd like to talk to Casaleggio.
Uh-huh.
And,
you can talk to Harper Reed.
And cyber warfare. I'm busy every day. You can just look at my blog. 10 of me couldn't keep up with what's going on. 100 couldn't keep up. I'm overwhelmed by the amount of interesting novelty and the ease with which you can get to it. You can talk to the space station. They're on Twitter. They send videos. It's
also
fantastic.
Also, a NASA rover can send you with a tweet.
I've seen those things. I've been to the Jet Propulsion Lab. They've got the rover down in the pit. I'm like petting it on the shoulder. It's like, little rover, go, go, go. You can get intimate with it now in a way that was never possible before. They will send you
or
email.
Or just in Star Wars.
I don't know. I mean, writing novels about it feels like writing opera about it. You just want to do it. Like, just get right in there and do it. Events are the new magazines. I don't write novels for techno people now. I just go sell hello. Come be on my blog. Can I help you in some way? What are you doing? Can I publicize this? Can I help you sell this?
Are you
can
interested?
Can I review what you're doing?
Are you interested in what is called singularity?
No. It's rubbish.
Do you think they're dickheads?
Do I think they're what?
No, sorry. Do you think what do you think about him?
Well,
why do they work with Google?
Well, the guys at Google are pretty odd, especially Sergey. He's just really an odd character.
You know him?
No.
Okay.
But I follow all his doings.
Mm-hmm. Think he's a weirdo?
He's the new Jobs.
Uh-huh.
He's as weird as Jobs, and he's Russian. Like
have you ever
Russian
thought about
emigre Steve Jobs? What could be weirder than that? He's an amazing character.
You were a fan of Steve Jobs or not?
It's like being a fan of Napoleon.
Yeah.
It's just let Steve be Steve. Let Sergey be Sergey. I try to withhold
let
judgment.
Let Adolf be Adolf.
Well, the time comes when it gets ugly. But, I try to understand them. I don't really say, he's good or he's bad. He's just, he's a human being who is very rich and very powerful.
You know what I was asking singularity? Because are you ready to live till at least you're 150 years old?
It's so boring. I mean, I would be happy to live to be 150 years old. Don't get me wrong. But the singularity is not about that. The singularity is all about becoming post-human, downloading your brains into computers, doing,
That's another reference to a beautiful novel that a genius in the 80s wrote called Software by Roddy Rucker.
A dear friend of mine.
Yeah, one of my loved ones.
He's a very nice guy. We should have him come over.
Let's call him and it's flying here immediately.
He'd be over here. He and I we collaborate on stories quite often.
I'm sure
he'd be happy to be in Italy. He spent a lot of time
Let's call him this afternoon.
That's great. can send him email.
Le cose di cui Bruce Sterling ha parlato, dice c'è un sacco di roba che succede nella finanza, occhio che nel programma la finanza e l'economia sono estremamente presenti, c'è molta roba che succede nella medicina e occhio a tutti gli incontri che saranno dedicati in questi 3 giorni a questo settore, c'è gente che si fa le proprie monete, che non si devono più coniare, c'è gente che si fa le proprie cose, in 3D con le stampanti e le può distribuire da soli, c'è gente che si fa finanziare delle cose che altrimenti l'industria non finanzierebbe mai, il famoso crowdfunding, c'è gente che non solo si stampa le sue cose ma che se le stampa qua e qui si potete trovare il nostro Fab Lab laggiù e naturalmente conversare con gli strani quelli che io chiamo gli strani orsetti di Arduino, sono tutti con la barba, sembrano dei boscaioli in uno di questi giorni e naturalmente avremo modo di continuare, molte altre cose possono accadere durante il WiredX Fest, sono 3 luoghi da visitare, questo è uno e si chiama Wired Dome, ce n'è un altro dentro il museo e si chiama l'Aula Magna, perché l'Aula Magna del museo è già in questo istante sono iniziati gli incontri, ce n'è un terzo che è il planetario che funziona on and off, perché è anche visitato dalle scolaresche che si sono prenotate per tempo per farlo, ma avete la possibilità di viaggiare nelle stelle durante anche gli incontri di questo pomeriggio e avremo anche oggi pomeriggio la possibilità di ritrovare Bruce Sterling con un torinese che anche è da sempre interessato alla sperimentazione, all'innovazione e alla letteratura, perché è musicista, DJ ed editore con una casa editrice che si chiama Ed, che è il signor Busta dei Sussonica. Grazie Busta Sterling. Thank you for being with us.